As most of you know, on Sunday mornings, we're studying the various names and titles of God that are found in the Bible. We're finding that those names reveal much to us about who God is. And so we'll continue that this morning. And the name of God that we're going to consider this morning in our series is El Elyon, which simply means God Most High. Let's begin in Psalm 50 and verse 14. The 50th Psalm and verse 14. This is one of the many places where this name is found. Psalm 50 and verse 14. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Our God is above all things in heaven and earth. And the use of the term high, it's not just a matter of position. He's certainly high in the sense that he's above us physically or in the heavens. But the term high, or the concept of height, has something to do with being superior in quality, in power, in authority, and in strength. And we use in our English language, we use height in that same way at times. Since Jehovah is the God Most High, above everything, creator of heaven and earth, he demands to be worshipped as God Most High, above all other gods. And this is the first commandment. We don't have to turn there, but in Exodus 20, where we have the Ten Commandments given, the first one given is, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You're not to make any carved images. You're not to have anything that you worship above me, because I am most high. I am above all others. And our worship today should be the same. We should worship God, acknowledge God as the Most High, not only above idols, but above everything in our life. We're to put him first. Some of you will remember Brother Virgil used to talk about putting God first, and he said some people, they put God first, but it's like those photo finishes. You have to see who really won, because the second place is right there. But God needs to be so much further in everything in our life. God Most High. And this was the revelation that God gave to Abraham very early on, that he was to serve the God Most High, because Abraham came from a family that worshiped idols. And so this name revealed to Abraham, I am the only one that you worship. And this was something new to Abraham when he got this call from the God Most High. Let's go to Romans 1 and verses 18 to 23, where Paul describes for us how the human race so quickly drifted further and further from acknowledging their Creator as the God Most High. They began to put other things above him as having more authority in their life, having more strength and power to supply what they needed to protect them. And so in Romans 1, we see the sinful condition of the heart of man. And this is still an accurate description of the human race, apart from those who've put their faith in Jesus Christ, those that have been born again. Romans 1, verses 18 to 23. And by the way, this described us as well before we became a new creature in Christ. For the wrath of God, verse 18 of Romans 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Just look at creation. It itself is a witness of the power of the Creator who is above all. He is the Most High. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Our society today thinks that they're smarter than they ever were, and yet they are further from God than they've ever been. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So far from worshiping the Most High God, the Egyptians even came to the place where they worshiped the cockroach under your feet. Worship the Most High God. Genesis 14, we see where this name, Abraham knew God as this God. This is why he abandoned the idolatry of his family. In Genesis 14, verses 18 to 24, he had a revelation that there's one God, one creator of all of this vast universe that demonstrates his power, his wisdom, not only to create all things, but to hold them together, to set their pattern. In Genesis 14 and verse 18, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. This is when Abram comes back from delivering Lot and the king of Sodom. And it goes on to say that the king of Sodom offered all the spoils to Abraham. And he said, no, I serve the Most High God. He will supply what I need. I don't take anything from you in case you might say I made Abram rich. He served the one true God. This revelation was important. Psalm 48, this truth is still relevant for us today. There's still many forms of idolatry in our own society that we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ need to be careful to avoid, to be aware of, because God deserves to be worshiped above all things, above everyone and everything. In Psalm 48 and verse 1, one of my favorite psalms, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Why do we come together? Why do we dedicate time on Sunday morning when we could be doing so many other things and so many other people do, even Christians? Great is my Lord. Great is Jehovah. The word great is a different word in the Hebrew than the one that we're studying, the Elyon. But it is a word in the Hebrew that can also be translated as high. Our God is high. Our God is great. And therefore, because he's great, he is to be greatly praised. The word translated greatly here means vehemently, fast, diligent, loudly, and well. Do you worship God that way? There are though many that are uncomfortable sometimes when we take time to lift our hands and our voices and worship the Lord, but it's scriptural. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We are to be quick, fast, dedicated, to serve the Lord above everyone and everything else. Any relationship. Now, this is where I want us to bring it to this modern day world in which we live. Because usually when you're thinking of idolatry, you're thinking of a statue here, a carved image, which still exists today and still is a problem among many religious. But there's many kinds of idolatry that we can easily fall into if we don't learn to recognize it. So any relationship, any activity that hinders us from worshiping and serving the God Most High is an idol to us. Anything that robs God of what he deserves is an idol. In the New Testament, John warns us in 1 John chapter 5 that we are to avoid all aspects of idolatry. 1 John 5:18 and through 21. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We see that more and more, don't we? And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, because we know all of that from a revelation of the Word of God, what does verse 21 say? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. So there needs to be an active understanding and practice in our life to avoid these things. That's what the command is all about. Keep yourselves, guard yourself. Well, unless you know what idolatry is and what idols are, to recognize them, you're not going to be able to protect yourself from it. And we guard ourselves and we keep ourselves from idols by making sure that God is number one, far above everything and everyone else. His will, 1 Peter 3. So again, just so we understand what an idol is in your modern day life, we should not allow anything or anyone to hold more sway in our life or our decisions, our conduct, our words, than the will of God. Anything that sways us or motivates us to do or to say anything apart from being in accordance with the will of God, that's an idol. People can be idols to you. Relationships, activities, in and of themselves, not sin. Sports and hobbies, those things aren't sin in and of themselves. In fact, in the right place, in submission to the will of God, they can be very profitable to you physically, emotionally. But when they take a position above your service and your worship and your devotion to God, you've got an idol. Guard yourself. Keep yourself from idols. 1 Peter 3, verse 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify, this is the verse I want to highlight. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. The command here is sanctify the Lord in your heart. What does that fancy religious word mean? Set him apart, way apart from everything else, because he's the Most High. He's above everything. And when we sanctify him in our heart, we're acknowledging you are God Most High. You're worthy of our service. You're worthy of our time. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of us supporting this message that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You're worthy. That's the first lesson we can learn from this revelation of the name of God Most High. But there's also a very comforting aspect of this as well. That's comforting too, to know that we have the privilege to worship the Most High God, that he accepts our worship. But it's also good to understand that this one who is above everything else is the one who has committed himself to my eternal well-being. God may use circumstances or human instruments to help us in life and through life, but our trust, our joy, our peace are found in knowing that our Heavenly Father is the Most High God. He will always have the last word in my life. Not disease, not trouble, not death. But God will have the last word. And what is his last word for us? Eternal life for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Eternal glory. Psalm 57. We won't take time to read this morning, but if you want to note it, Psalm 57, 1 through 11. The psalmist here, David actually, was being persecuted by Saul. And in this psalm, several times we see that David calls upon the Most High God to protect him, to foil the plans of his enemy, which in this case, at this time, was King Saul. King Saul had a lot of power. He was the king. He had a lot of power and influence, and he purposed to kill David. But David took it to a higher court, to a higher king, who had more power and more authority than King Saul. And guess what? God acted on David's behalf. In the business world, someone looking to escalate a problem or a complaint that is not being properly addressed. Anybody have those issues, by the way? An hour and a half on the phone. Have you ever had to say, I would like to talk to someone above you? Now, it doesn't necessarily mean they're on the top floor, which a lot of times is true. But you're talking about someone who has the power to overrule your incompetence. I'm going to take it to the higher ups. It's the same thought when we talk about the Most High God. In our judicial system, the judgment of a lower court can be overturned by what? A higher court. And again, it has nothing to do with position, physical position. It has to do with their authority and their power. We can go to the highest court in the universe, and the judge there is our Father. He will always rule in our favor. Now, not always how we think he ought to, but it will always be for our eternal good. What comfort that is. We might turn to Psalm 57, verse 2. David knew that God always had the final word. And so he cries out in Psalm 57 and verse 2, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. Simple little verse. But do you understand the privilege and the blessing, the protection and the provision of that passage? The God Most High, above everything and everyone. He's the one who performs his will, which is one of a loving father, to his child. He performs all things. In our day and age, our society, idols made of wood, stone, silver, gold, they still exist, especially among the religious. And they can be a problem. I've known many Christians who look to jewelry, cross or crucifix, as a good luck charm, as if it has power. For some, I understand, they're just symbols that point to the Most High God. But for too many, this is why we don't use a lot of religious symbols in our worship. It's dangerous because it leads to idolatry to so many. But over and above those physical idols, once again, anything that robs God of our devotion is an idol that we need to guard against. He's our protector. He's our provider. Our joy, our peace is found in Him, not our circumstances, not our situations, not our connections, but in Him. Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15. What a wonderful promise we have. Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15. Offer to God thanksgiving. That's what we did this morning, wasn't it? It's not just a ritual we go through. At least it shouldn't be. But when we give opportunity to praise and worship in the congregation, it's an opportunity. It's not an order. It's not something that we do just out of a mechanical response. Too much worship is offered that way. But it's an opportunity. Express your thanksgiving to this one who is deserving, who's been so good and faithful to you. And not only publicly, but privately, because he sees you. He receives your thanksgiving in private. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. That's where we started. But verse 15 follows, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. What a privilege we have to call upon the God Most High, call him Father, and to know that he's going to supply everything we need to do his will and to be ready to rule and reign with Christ when he comes. You can't find that peace anywhere else. If you have a need this morning, spirit, soul, or body, take it to the highest court in the land. Take it to the Most High God.